Well, St. Susie Baptist, it's amazing to be able to join you this morning like this, unfortunately by video, but we're all in the same boat. So it's great to be with you. And it's also great to be able to speak to you this morning on behalf of Open Doors and to speak about justice. Justice, which is interesting because in the persecuted church, something we really don't see very often. In fact, in Central Asia, we see a real absence of that within the persecuted church. So for the Central Asian Church, I was there a few years ago, and we got a glimpse of the injustice that they see all around them just simply on the way to church. As we were driving to church one morning, as we were driving along in the van, our guide turned to us and he said, "When we go to church today, if anybody suddenly yells out, run, you just run. Don't worry about meeting us anywhere in particular. We'll find you later on. But if anyone says run, you make sure you do it. Because if somebody does that, it means that the secret police are coming. And inevitably, they're going to catch some of us. And when they catch us, they're going to beat us. But don't worry about it too much. Because if they don't come today, then they're just going to come another day and they'll beat us then." And with that, he looks straight forward again. We're quite nervous. As we continued on, our guide, he was sitting forward, but then he turned around again. And he looked at us and he said, "Do you see that building over there? Well, in that building is one of the other brothers from the city. He's been in there for over a week and no one's been allowed to see him. We think he's there because it's a secret police headquarters. And we know he's arrested. But nobody's been allowed to see him. Because we think that he's been beaten so badly that I don't want anyone to be able to testify as to what he looks like at the moment. The reason that we know he's arrested is somebody saw it. He was just driving along one day and he was stopped at some traffic lights by the police. And when they searched his car, they found a book on prayer and a CD with Christian music on it." And with that, again, he just looked straight forward as if that was a totally normal thing to happen. And so that's the kind of injustice that we see happening in the Central Asian church. But despite that, we saw another program, an amazing program. So at a different church than the one we were going to, they had set up a special food kitchen to feed the homeless and the hungry in the city. Now, this is a beautiful ministry to do, but unfortunately, it exposed that the government wasn't providing everything for the people's needs. And this wasn't their intention, but the government got frustrated by this and hated even more so that it was Christians who were doing it. And so they came one day and they said, "You don't have food safe certificates, so we have to shut you down." And the church begged and pleaded with the police and said, "Look, we just want to feed these people. We don't want anything in return. We don't want to be noticed. We don't want anything." The government said, "No, you have to shut down." And this is a common tactic in Central Asia, with police often showing up to churches at the end of the day on Fridays, at, say 4 o'clock, and saying, "If you don't have enough smoke detectors, which you don't at the moment, by 5 p.m., we're going to have to issue you a fine and shut you down." And it's in the midst of this injustice that the persecuted church still reach out to those around them. And that is the unusual picture we have of justice from the Bible. Because in the Bible, we see lots of times of injustice, but we also see how God sets things up in such a way which doesn't immediately make sense or can even have us thinking in the opposite way. And so while we may think justice is something that is given out swiftly, or justice is something which is deserved and will come, the persecuted church know that justice can be far off. And in the Bible, justice looks different. Throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of how justice is laid out for God's people to be something that they administer. And there's two different roles in justice. One is God's role, and one is our role. So God's role in justice is reserved for him. Just like judgment, we're not given an example to go out and judge those around us. In fact, there's a story of where Jesus says Whoever is without sin should be the first to condemn. Of course, in that instance, nobody condemns because nobody is without sin. And it's the same for justice. We know that God is going to judge at the last day, and will say, these people know me and these people do not. And we know that at the last day, God will give perfect justice. So what is our role in justice on the earth? Well, it kind of looks like as it's written out in Micah 6:8, where it says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So how do we act justly? Well, we go about correcting the injustices that we see around us. And in Central Asia, that was providing food for people who didn't have it, to reaching out to the people who were homeless and poor, correcting that injustice that was placed upon them by society. And in Vietnam, I saw something similar a couple of years ago when I went there. We met two men who were from different villages. And these villages were so remote that they'd never received any education. And the word of God had actually never reached them. And the way that they came to know Jesus was quite similar. So one man, he went into town and he went to sell some goods which he'd made from his farm. When he did that, he happened to bump into a pastor on the way out of the marketplace. After hearing the gospel from the pastor, he got so excited about hearing about a God who loved him that he gave his life to Jesus. You see, all of his life, he'd been raised being told that the spirits were in control of the village and that these different spirits were always angry and always demanded sacrifices. And if they didn't sacrifice to these spirits, that something terrible would happen to them, that they would become sick, or that their crops might fail, or that their children would get sick or die, or something terrible. But to hear that a God loved him, that was the God he wanted to serve. So going back to his village, he went and he shared the good news with everyone who lived there, and five families came to know Jesus that day. But as often happens, when the gospel goes out this quickly, then persecution starts as well. So the first thing that happened was some of the villagers who were terrified of the spirits, they went and they put sand into the petrol tank of this believer. It was his only possession in the whole world, and they destroyed it. But this man, he said, I'll continue to follow Jesus. And so the villagers, still fearful of these spirits, they went and then they hamstrung his cows. Now this man was incredibly poor, and to lose any kind of livestock is a huge loss, but cows, which are used to plow the field and for meat later in life, this is almost an unbearable loss. And yet still he said, I'm going to continue to follow Jesus. And things continued to escalate and escalate as these villagers, out of fear, wanting him to return back and sacrifice to the spirits again. Eventually one night they resolved that there was only one way to get him to do this. And so they gathered around his house and they threw large stones the size of cinder blocks that went through the ceiling. And they missed him, but only by millimeters. And despite this, despite the persecution, when Open Doors offered to help move this man and his family to a new village, he said, if you do that, who will share Jesus with these people? Now, justice for him doesn't seem to be forthcoming. But he knows from being in fellowship and from knowing who God is, that it is his role on earth to simply share of how great Jesus is. And isn't this the ultimate justice? To share this incredibly amazing creator and God, this unusual mix of God that doesn't make sense to us necessarily at first glance. In the Bible, we have this beautiful picture of Jesus, and yet just like justice, it's not what we first expect. Jesus was supposed to be this conqueror who would make all things right. And he did that. But the first picture we have of him is in Zechariah 9:9 and what he's going to look like. And he's this righteous and victorious yet lowly man riding on a donkey. These two things don't seem to go together. And yet it is the beautiful picture of how God works. Just like with justice. And so for us as Christians, the greatest justice that we can have, just like this man in Vietnam knew, was to show through actions and kindness that God is the one who is just. And justice is for him to give out in his time. And the way that this man in Vietnam did it was by showing the ultimate kindness and by sharing his faith no matter the cost. And that is something that is available to all of us as well. And so while the persecuted church seemed to experience these great injustices every day, and while we as well in our lives may at some stage experience some great injustice, and it is totally common, we still have the same challenge that sits on us to share our faith. And so I would encourage you today that we can participate in this as well.